No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see where Haggai prophesies that the glory of the latter temple in Jerusalem will exceed the former one. The people had been defiled because of their disobedience, but now God would bless them. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl concludes the book of Haggai on Simply the Bible.
16 years earlier, the people had laid the foundation to rebuild the temple after the Babylonian captivity. But because of opposition, they had given up the work. Now God raised up the prophet Haggai to stir up the people to get them back to work. And guess what? They obeyed him. They got back to work, and the Lord was pleased. We continue in Haggai chapter 2 today. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing?" It was now October 17th, 520 BC. It was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It had now been about a month since the initial enthusiasm, and the spirits of the people were beginning to wane. Discouragement was setting in because there were people who were thinking that this did not compare to the previous temple that Solomon had built. Perhaps there had even been a few people who could remember Solomon's temple 66 years earlier. So God began to ask them questions to get them to think, to bring to the surface really what they were feeling. The problem is that more people fail for lack of encouragement than for any other reason. Elizabeth Harrison said, "The men who are lifting the world upward and onward are those who encourage more than criticize." Now God sent Haggai to begin to encourage the people lest their spirits become despondent. "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel," says the Lord, "and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land," says the Lord, "and work, for I am with you," says the Lord of hosts, "according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." I love the fact that God always encourages his people. He never discourages us. He might redirect us if we're doing something wrong and get us on the right track again, but he will always encourage us to do his will. So he said, "Be strong." Now, this is the same thing that David had told Solomon when he first began to build the temple originally. Now the Lord said it to Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. Then he said, "I am with you. I know of no better way to keep from being overwhelmed with fears, anxieties, or just the overwhelming nature of a problem than the simple truth that God is with us. That is our source of strength." Finally, God said that according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. You see, their unfaithfulness in continuing with the work and giving it up for a period of time could not negate God's faithfulness to them as his people. God made a covenant with their fathers to give them the land, and he would not go back on his word. He had also raised up Cyrus, the king of Persia, to give them the go-ahead with the temple, and he would help them continue it and complete it. Finally, God told them, "Do not fear." You see, they were afraid of the surrounding people of the land who had stopped the work earlier. They were probably afraid of the new king of Persia. But the cure for all fear and discouragement is simply to know that we are doing the work of the Lord and that he is with us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. For thus says the Lord of hosts, "Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Now, Haggai did not probably know this at the time, but he was looking forward not only to this temple, which would be the beginnings, but also to the millennial temple that will be rebuilt for the Messiah when he returns. And thus the Lord speaks of shaking heaven and earth, sea and dry land. This was looking forward to what will happen during the great tribulation. In Revelation 6:12, we see that John the Apostle saw that there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. The sea receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Also, Jesus said in Mark 13:24, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So this will happen in the future. There will be a whole lot of shaking going on when God tears down the kingdoms of men in order to establish the kingdom of his King and Lord Jesus Christ. Then all the nations will gather in Jerusalem to come to the desire of all nations. I believe this is a reference to Christ. He should be the desire of all nations today. Certainly he is worthy. Unfortunately, the desire of all nations is possessions, power, and pleasure rather than Jesus Christ. And that is why God must pull down these strongholds. He must make way for the new administration and the new worship of all nations, who will be the King of Kings. Then God said, I will fill the temple with glory. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, God said. Now they lacked the wealth that Solomon had. They knew that this temple would also lack the glory of the former temple when the Shekinah glory was in the temple and the Ark of the Covenant was in the temple. Now they didn't have that. But the glory of the latter temple would be spiritual because the Lord himself will inhabit it. And they didn't need to worry about the gold and the silver. God owns all of that anyway. They wouldn't be able to put it in this temple, but it would be put in the future temple. Now, let me just tell you that we are in the middle of a building project, and I have many times thought about this verse. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Listen, we may lack resources, but God never lacks resources. And where he guides, he provides. We can trust him to provide in the right time what he wants us to do. Finally, God said that in this place, I will give peace. Again, speaking of the future millennial temple in Jerusalem, we look at what's happening in Israel today. There is not peace. There will not be peace until Jesus Christ brings peace. And then the peace will be centralized in Jerusalem, where right now it seems like that's where all of the conflict is continually centralized in Jerusalem and in Israel. Verse 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. So now it was December 18th, 520 BC, about 2 months later, and Haggai asks the priest a question. Will holy meat make other things holy? And they said, no, it can't. It doesn't work that way. Then he said, well, will an unclean person, somebody who's touched a dead body and is ceremonially unclean, if he touches something, will that make it unclean? And they said, yes, that will make it unclean. And that was correct according to the Levitical law. Now, the point of these questions was to illustrate that it is easier for something to become unclean than clean. If you pour a little polluted water in clean water, then the clean water becomes polluted. But if you take pure water and pour it into polluted water, it doesn't make it fit to drink. The point of all this was that the people themselves had become defiled. They were unclean because they had turned from the Lord and his work and pursued their own desires instead of doing the will of God. Their hearts were not right before God, so everything that they touched was defiled. They were offering their sacrifices, but God was not accepting them because their hearts were not right. And now, carefully consider from this day forward. From before the stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days, when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, that is 20 bushels, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths, or 50 gallons, from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. So this is now the third time Haggai told them to carefully consider, and now they were to consider that at this point, they only had half the grain that they expected and 40% of the wine. It had been 3 months since they began to lay the foundation and get back to work, but now God said, from here on out, you will see that I will bless you. You've had not what you expected before, but now I'm going to bless you like I haven't blessed you for a long time. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. So Haggai had given a word to the people. Now he directed the word to Zerubbabel, who was the governor, who was also in the line of the Messiah. And so he said to Zerubbabel, I'm going to destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. Again, this is looking forward to when he shakes the heaven and the earth during the tribulation period. But he said, I will make you like a signet ring. The signet ring, of course, marked the authority that the king had in pronouncing edicts. And so God said, I'm going to make you, Zerubbabel, like a signet ring. What did he mean by that? We're going to look at that question because there's some difference of opinion about what that could possibly mean. For sure, it was an encouragement to Zerubbabel right then and there. But it could have some meaning in the future millennial kingdom, as we shall see when we get into the next minor prophet, Zechariah. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you understand us. And even when we fail at times, Lord, and maybe become discouraged, partially due to circumstances or partially due to our own failures. And yet, Lord, you encourage us, you strengthen us, that you are with us, and you will help us to do the work that you've called us to do. I pray, Father, for anyone listening today, that you would encourage their hearts, strengthen them, make clear to us all that which you are calling us to do, and help us to know you are with us, and you will never leave us, and you will never forsake us, and you will bless us if we will simply trust you and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will return to the book of Isaiah. God promised to deliver his people from Babylon and do a new thing. He would give drink to them and not remember their sins. We hope you'll join us as we teach in the book of Isaiah on Simply the Bible.